Blog Talk Radio.
Peace be on our noble and honorable listening audience. You're listening once again to another edition of Religion Means Alive. I'm awaiting our guest, Brother Adib Shaker, to come to the air. And as soon as he arrives, we will start the show. Brother Adib Shaker is one of the foremost people in this community and keeping the concerns of this community forward for socialization and for each year he hosts. For the last 19 years, he's hosted a show, a program rather, called the New Africa Family Day. So I'm very interested in talking with him to see what he has to say to us. He's a founder of an organization called Father, Son, Men, and Boys. And you heard me pausing as I dialed his number because he should have been on by now. And we should hear from him shortly. So as soon as I'm back here, we have the brother, our dear brother, and our brother, Imam Samuel Majid.
Please leave your message for 973-420-4172.
It would be, Brother Deep Shaker, we're waiting for you. I'm waiting. I wonder if Brother Imam Samuel Majid has any comments while we wait for our guest to come in. Brother Imam, I know you've been trained well, and they say every great thinker has at least 4 speeches in his pocket, and I'm sure you have at least 10. So what say ye?
As-salamu alaykum.
Walaykum as-salam.
Brother Imam Alfred, I just tuned in. I missed the first introduction, so I'm a little bit at a loss at what to...
Well, brother, you're one of our foremost thinkers and one of our freest thinkers I've met. And I wonder while we're waiting for Adib. I wonder while we're waiting for Brother Adib Shaker to come. He should be on shortly. If you could give us some knowledge and background on our brother and friend, Brother Razak, who is great brother, known as James Shabazz, James 67X. Can you just share with our audience as I try to reach out to our brother, Brother Adib Shaker?
Well, Brother Razak, may Allah be pleased with him accepting him into paradise, came in the community back in the, I believe it was the late 50s, early 60s. He has quite a remarkable background, history. He, before coming into the community, he attended Lincoln University, and from there he went into the military, served in the military during the time of the Korean War. Right after that, he served in Japan, and he learned to speak Japanese very fluently. And when he was discharged, he came back to the States, went back to school, and he continued his education. Not only at Lincoln he graduated, but he attended his education. He went to CCNY, got a degree there in New York, City College in New York, and he attended Columbia University, got a degree there, and he studied economics, he studied business, and as well he, another business school, I can't remember the name of it, in New York. He also took a class at, I believe it was Temple University, Princeton. And he was quite a accomplished brother. A lot of people never got an opportunity to tap into that resource of wisdom. And I always...
Your recording has reached the maximum length. To replay your message, press 1.
And,
to delete and re-record your message, press 3.
Excuse me,
for delivery options, press 4. To send a fax, press 6. To cancel this message, press star. To send this message now, press pound or hang up.
Hello? Hello?
To replay your message, press 1. To delete and re-record your message, press 3. For delivery options, press 4. To send a fax, press 6. To cancel this message, press star. To send this message now, press pound or hang up. To replay your message, press 1. To delete and re-record your message, press 3. For delivery options, press 4. To send a fax, press 6. To cancel this message, press star. To send this message now, press pound or hang up. Your message has been sent. Thank you for calling. Goodbye.
Hello.
Yes, I'm still here. I don't know. Another call. I must. We had waiting
on
the other.
We got disconnected some kind of way.
Yes, sir.
Am I still on the air?
You still
want that information? Okay.
Yes, sir.
You brother Razak. You know, come from a humble family. I'm a means in Harlem, New York, born and raised in Harlem, and he was always interested in reading as a young boy. As a young boy, so he explained to me, and his whole family was a family that grew up there in New York City that didn't have very much in terms of material wealth. But they applied everything they could towards the bettering themselves, every educational opportunity. He had three other brothers and a sister, I believe, and all of them, the brothers, served in the United States military and discharged with honors. One was a veterinarian and still is a veterinarian. And they were all successful. But I think he heard Islam and heard Malcolm teach. And during the early 60s or late 50s, and he was quite interested in it. He once told me that Hello?
Yes, sir. I was going to say that I want to, I guess as a rod, I'm trying to use you as a fill-in, but I wanted to talk more about Brother Razak. And I'm going to talk off the air. We could set up a time where we could have an in-depth discussion of Brother Razak. If we could do that perhaps the first Saturday in the month, would that be acceptable to you?
Yes, I can give you what information that I haven't remembered.
Yes, sir. I went to, and he's a great model. I add to, in addition, I met him when he had become a nurse at Harlem Hospital.
Yes.
I mean,
that
was called a real Renaissance man. And
he became a nurse when he was 50 years old.
Yes. If we could bring some of his family members in. But we'll talk off here. We have with us our guest, Brother Adib Shaker, the founder of the organization Father, Son, Man, and Boys. Also the founder of the New Africa Family Day. So we have him with us today. We just excited. And I'm going to start up. I know he's busy. I know he's hardworking. He probably doesn't have a lot of energy, but I know one thing about him. Once he gets fired up, he's fired up. Brother Adib, did you bring the tape of Imam Wahdeen Muhammad? And why is it important for us to have big meetings?
Yeah, assalamu alaikum.
Well,
think about
Salam.
Yes, sir. All right, brother, man. I'm gonna turn this on in the car. I'm in the car because the tape that I have with this message on it is a cassette tape player. I still have a cassette tape player in my car. So I have to come outside, go in the car, and play this tape from the car. It's a cassette tape player. You see, a lecture was given in New York City. I think this was in the 80s. All right.
Thank you.
We have to put the community before them. Of course, many of them are not ready to make no moral steps. But all of us have the nature to try to progress in community or through community. So this brother, he writes me back and he tells me that I've made a mistake, I did wrong and everything, and that the moral life is first and the most important. And you can't put aside the moral life to call somebody to something else. And I wish I had time to answer all the people that write me, but the amount of charity I get for my needs just won't allow me to have the Secretary of Staff to answer all these nuts. So I do my best to answer the same people because I feel that they are shouldering some responsibility in the society and that they really expected an answer. Most of them don't even know they wrote you after they write it. But this brother wasn't a nut. He was a sensible, intelligent brother. So eventually, I'm going to get around to writing him or telling him, I know how to reach him, explaining to him that by putting the community in focus and taking the mall out of the big focus doesn't mean you're abandoning the mall. It doesn't even mean you're putting the mall back. But you're taking care of that need to a bigger concern. And I thought I was right then, and I even believe more stronger now that I was right, that I am right, in saying that we need to focus upon community responsibility. Community responsibility is the biggest moral responsibility. Yes! Responsibility to watch over my language and I don't say B-I-T-C-H or A-T-L-L or F-H-I-T. You know, watch over my tongue and say, that's a moral responsibility. To wash my hands before I eat. To not to put filth into my mouth. To not to go out the house with scanty clothes on. That will show my private naked parts or something like that, expose myself beyond the limit. All of that's small. But that's small. The biggest moral concern is the concern to make a contribution to the civilized community life. To be an asset. To be a help. To be a factor for advancing the great civilized community life. That's the biggest moral commitment. And that's why God says you are the best community. Raised up for the good of all people. Because we have been called to that community commitment, to accept that community commitment, community responsibility. And we're not just any kind of community, for they are a community of criminals. We're an Islamic community. That's a community under the best principles, under the best laws. Yes, an ethical community. Not just a moral community, but also an ethical community. So I'm sorry some people
don't understand the language and think I'm changing or backing up. No. I see a more intelligent way to address problems and get up on the road. And as a young man in the knowledge, I was just telling you, you're wrong for behaving like this. You're wrong for thinking this way. You have to believe in God this way. Your belief in God is your private affair after you get what the Quran says. And after you get the life of Muhammad, the son, you believe in God as your father's son. I can't be accountable for it. I can't run around and chase you up for how you perceive God. I was innocent. I didn't have enough understanding. Now I do, so I don't worry. I said, let's work to advance the excellence of a Muslim community and start right at home with your husband, your wife, your children, your parents, your grandparents, start right at home. Build up an excellent community, Islamic community life in your homes, in your apartments, in your rooms. And when we come here, we will come here with life intact. But we can preach here until our tongues turn dry and crack up like a soda cracker. Right. And as long as you just come here and don't apply the thing at home, you don't apply it outside of these walls, oh, we're wasting our time. And we don't want to come here and talk to each other and charge up a battery on a quick charge. And it starts going down from the moment it steps out. The moment it takes off from this location, the battery starts going down. We want people to know what God has told them through Muhammad the Prophet. Each of you are charged by Allah for your conduct. Each of you are charged for the authority that God has created in you. Don't we watch the imam to see how he's progressing or measuring up here and not watching yourself how you are measuring up or prospering wherever you are, wherever you are. Watch yourself too. Because God is judging all of us. The tab is being kept for all of us, huh? Yes. How are you performing as a son, as a daughter, as a husband, as a wife, as a father, as a mother, as one responsible for your household? How are you performing? God is going to hold all of us accountable. Is the word of God heard in your mouth? Hey, the imam called it. Did anybody call that that? Hey, you got a mosque at home. Wherever you are, you got a mosque because you're obligated to pray wherever you are. Was that then called by you in your home? Hey, did you do the sunnah? Did you do your sunnah at home? Hey, that's not halal. Did you ask that question when you went to McDonald's? Hey, this is supposed to cover everything except the hand and the face. Who were you out with last night? How much of her was covered? Let's not be hypocrites, that's what I'm saying. Muslims shouldn't be hypocrites. Let us understand our obligation and all of us do the best we can. That's all God asks of us. He says, tell them to do as much of it as they can.
Yes. Take the best thereof. That's the word of God. Take the best thereof. Prophet Muhammad says, do as much as your religion as you can.
So
everybody can't do the same amount. Not given the same circumstances or the same conditions. Everybody can't do the same. Maybe in my own favorite situation, I can do better than you. But you come and take me and put me in another situation, I'll fail. Huh? Some of us ain't rich people.
Right.
Don't believe rich people can be good. No, rich, yeah, you see, he ain't no good. He ain't no good. He rich or he ain't no good. And don't know that a rich man being good on your level was superior to you. Because riches is a temptation. Riches give you the means to cover your sin.
All right.
So if a rich man can be as good as the average man walking up down the street in his mall, he should be congratulated. And being acquainted with many people who got wealth, I would say most rich people perform morally better than poor people. Now, I know you don't like to hear that kind of talk. See, that's another thing that holds us back. We live with false achievement. False achievement. Down here saying you're better than everybody else. Because you don't commit adultery and fornication and you ain't on no dope or nothing. And you ain't got no money. And you can't take care of nobody. Now, the poor person that's struggling, what I call the striving poor, that's struggling, poor, but still is a means of supporting something. He is the reason, or she's the reason, for something being supported. A child, or an apartment. They're taking care of something. They're keeping something. Their own person. But you poor, you ain't got no job, and you don't pay no rent, and you don't pay no bills, you ain't taking care of nobody, and you don't commit no adultery, and you don't commit no fornication, you don't steal.
Bless your soul. I wish you'd fall into a ditch or something. If anything, to shock you into another direction. Look here. You can think you're holy and you'd be sinful. Yeah, you'd be very sinful. It's a sin to be dead while your soul is alive. You're a living soul, but dead in the world of activity, of construction, of industry, of achievement. You have no record of you being alive in that world. You do nothing. And take a chance, you're still alive. Maybe that'll change your circumstances. At least you're still, since you're so puritanical, maybe you you'll feel the burden of guilt and start repenting, and that'll be a change. I've seen some people, I know a sister. I won't call her names or nothing because I love the sister. But she thinks all there is to being a good Muslim is cleaning her body and eating the proper food and covering herself up. She doesn't think it goes far than that. She ain't got no friends. Nobody likes to be in her company. She doesn't live with anybody but herself. But she walks as though she's in heaven and she got it made. And she's all right with God. How can she be? That's a very small part of our obligation. Just covering up our wearing a Muslim dress and eating Muslim food or proper food. The biggest obligation is to live with your brothers and sisters. And to be a comfort and a support to your brothers and sisters. Our religion obligates us to live in the community and to grow as community and to make efforts and work for the great future of the Islamic community on this earth. Don't forget that. And that should set our whole life. That should sensitize our whole life. That should bring the spirit for us. Our spirit should be there. I should be motivated by a desire to see this ummah, this community of Muslims, better day by day. Then work wherever you are. Serve wherever you are. Don't have to have any, shouldn't have to have any witnesses and spectators. Get out of that. Doing something good. God says, He rewards the doers of good that do good both openly and secretly. God says, spend. Spend in public and also spend in secret. Yes. When you know Allah is watching you and you live to please your Maker, well, you can really do good then. You do a lot of good. And you keep it up. Don't be falling out of the ranks all the time. But when you're working to be seen, as soon as there are enough people looking at you, you want to fall out of the ranks. Now, I understand that the effort that's being made here to get me out here in April for a big, big mass meeting. That is very good. And I pray that you all will give it your support. And I don't think we need people all over the United States to make it a success. There are millions of people right here in New York. It should be a success with the efforts and support of the people right here in New York. Yes, we're not talking about anything that big. We're talking about a little over $100,000 expense. Is that right? That's no real big thing. 20 years ago, that's like talking about $20,000. It's no big thing. The money we spend on hamburgers and chili and Chinese food, yes, and all that stuff. And we just save some of that money that we are spending on junk food. Just cut out junk food for about 2 or 3 months. And we'll have that back. Yeah. That ain't no real big thing. See, we expect big effort. Big effort from the part of somebody out there somewhere.
What about you? What about people here? Big effort's got to happen here where we are.
Right. Not out there in the scoop zone. Ain't no accident gonna come out there and drop nothing on us. Hey, here's a blessing. Nice a little inside, and there's nothing for the human being unless he strives for it. God didn't teach us in this religion to sit around and wait for some magic to happen. He said ain't nothing going to happen until you get out and strive for it, work for it, struggle for it. This is a religion of struggle. And I'm sure all of us want to realize big things.
That's right.
For ourselves, but most importantly, for our community. Because a community of Muslims that are majority African American being successful is a credit to all African Americans. Yes. Well, actually, the need that we have as a people is fulfilled in our religion if you just rise up and carry out our religious duties. Yes, God will answer our needs, answer all our needs in this religion. The bigger the thing you want, the bigger the price you have to pay. Sometimes that price is just in terms of muscle effort, though, physical effort. Many times you have to spend your money and do many other things. But no matter what it is, the bigger it is, the bigger the price. And Muslims don't see spending as a thing that they dread. Our pleasure is in spending in the path of God. Because we know, though it doesn't come back to me personally or individually, it advances the life that I have chosen. It advances the purpose that I have given myself to. It improves the life that I am a small part of. Huh? So we don't spend the lemon juice in our tongue, under our tongue, nor alum in our jaws. It is our pledge to spend in the cause of God to advance the life that He has preferred for us, that has chosen for us, and we have accepted.
Yes! This is the spirit you have to come into.
Don't you know the key is spirit? Failure? Wrong spirit. Success? Right spirit. Our spirit shouldn't be the spirit that God, this private thing, it should be the spirit that God, this collective thing. That should be the spirit. It doesn't take that much. All of us is worth our part. And again, I repeat, it can be done by the people of New York. But I expect that every man in this area here on the East Coast get all that they got behind New York to make it a success.
Don't let anybody tell you I know the time is going and everything. Don't let anybody tell you that you can do better by doing nothing. That's what our enemies want us to feel and to start acting upon subconsciously, automatically, without conscious thought on our behavior and our government. Our enemies want us to succumb to that spirit.
Right.
That we do better by doing nothing.
Right.
You do better by doing something.
And the more you do, the better your life becomes. Now, I know we need to invest in business. Leave that alone. That's taken care of. We have free business for the Muslim community. Now, anybody who have an ambition, have an initiative to go on business, is free to go on business. People who perform excellent, they've been told that they will get our support. Those who care nothing about their performance, who cheat the people, who give them inferior service and inferior products, they've been told that we will paralyze them by denying them our support. Don't worry about business efforts. Business is growing in this following. It's growing in Chicago, it's growing in Atlanta, it's growing in New York, it's growing everywhere. You're worried about business should be as a businessman, as a businesswoman. But you're worried when you come here and sit down here and listen to the football or listen to a message to drive us, to get us into the workforce for the community excellence?
Your concern there, your interest there should be dawah.
Dawah. The advancement of the message of Islam. Publication. Propagation. Publication. Representation in America.
So the effort of religious life here in America by Muslims, huh?
That's what it should be. So don't let those people convince you that we're going to do better by doing nothing. We're going to do better by doing more and doing something and doing more.
Right.
There was a gentleman, his name is Professor George Stoney. He was on that Channel 11 in Chicago just the other day. And he was talking about the media. And he said something that we've been aware of, most of us are aware of, that media has such dominance in the life of the people that there has to be an effort for the sake of democracy. By public people, just ordinary people.
Right.
Now, here we are. We don't have television. We don't have NBC. We don't have CBS. We don't have anything. We don't have that. But we have something.
We have ourselves. If we don't let powerful media influences and powerful street influences dominate us and take us out of business, we still have ourselves.
And just like they're doing so much to control the future behavior and the future direction of people with the powerful media, we can do a whole lot without mass effort to bring about the proper image and to open up the consciousness, to wake the consciousness, and make a place and a reputation for Muslim America.
Yeah. Right.
Well, we have to have mass effort,
right.
Mass collective effort.
Right.
Don't you know they're sick now that you're here?
Yeah.
Right. Whenever I come here and you come in these numbers, oh, you make our enemies so sick.
Yeah.
They try everything to keep this from happening.
That's right.
The very thing that you all now don't think is important is what our enemies know to be important.
Yeah.
It's important that we come together in mass numbers and big numbers like this. It's important.
Yeah.
It's important for our own spirit. And it's important for the people who are looking at us, who are wondering how are we doing, wondering if we have vanished from the earth. And not just our enemies, but also our friends, our future supporters are looking to see if they really got something. Let them go watch them and see if they produce. They sound good, but I want to see if they have the spirit to keep going, because they got it, I don't have it. But if they can prove to me that what they got will keep them going, I'm going to join them. Don't you know there are millions of people out there looking at us, waiting to see if we can prove ourselves. We don't want them. God don't want them if they come in. No man who started a great thing got the masses from the beginning. They got a select group of people that were willing to sacrifice and show an example to convince the masses. That's history. For 11 years, the prophet didn't have a great following.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But a small following would not give up. And they made themselves visible. They came out of hiding. And they defended their right to public demonstration of their faith. And when they... the great multitude start to come.
Yes.
All right. So don't let our enemy, who hate our presence so much, who try to wish us dead, wish us out of business, don't let them infiltrate us and induce us into believing that we accomplish something by doing nothing. Thank you very much.
Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar.
Yes, sir.
Ma'am, Adib, may Allah grant you paradise for playing that tape.
Brother, this is a powerful piece.
I'm going to put it again. We're going to have to put it. We got it now that we can record, since we got it on blog talk, we're going to play it again. We can excerpt it and play it.
This is what they kept away from the people.
They think we should have small meetings and let Falcon get out front and have big meetings. And that's how we have lost the race with our people. I don't care what nobody says. Our public, our Muslim public, don't know Imam Muhammad. I just want to ask you, Brother Deed, do you agree with me? And I know the general African American public don't know Imam. And I also know the general American public don't know the Imam. Do you agree with all three of them?
Imam Alfred, give me a minute to get back into the house, bro. I'm going back into the house. Give me a minute to get back into the house.
Give it up, people. You've been heard. Why, Brother Deeb is waiting to get back to the house. If anybody want to make a comment, all you got to do, if you're on the line, press 1. If you're not on the line, dial 805-727-7013. 805-727-7013. This is real stuff. Very, very real. I'm telling you, the 24 the 25th and the 26th of July, we are going to have a huge New Africa Family Day. Now, this New Africa Family Day will start the 24th of July. We're planning to have a very powerful humor. The critique will be announced. We're going to invite the general public, primarily African Americans, to come and hear the drama. Why are we going to invite the general African American population? Because they were once Muslims in that land. Number two, we want the other public to hear us so they know the difference between Al-Islam and Islam. And we want the Muslims who say that they follow Imam Wahdadeen Muhammad to hear a khutbah reflective of Imam Wahdadeen Muhammad's teaching. Saturday, we're going to have the 9 workshops, probably 12 workshops. We're going to have the 9 committees, and we are going to have business workshops. All the concerns of Imam Muhammad, we're going to have workshops, plus registration for the convention. We have need big, huge meetings. And Sunday, a big interfaith service. Let our Christian brothers and sisters have their own service right in the park. And then after they have our Sunday service, because we're going to invite them to our Juma. So wouldn't it be right for us to go to church with them? Are you going to church with them? The Prophet Muhammad allowed Christians to have our services inside the Masjid and Medina. Wake up. Imam Muhammad let Christians have a service right inside of our facility. All right? Now, wake up. Then Sunday, we're going to cut watermelon, and we're going to have a good time, and we're going to have cultural celebrations, and we're going to have even some good, I hope, some good cultural dances. We're going to celebrate the birth. We're going to even celebrate the death. We're going to celebrate the graduations. We're going to celebrate all the big things and have the kungas and the trumpets. It's going to be a phenomenal day that's going to make everybody in Africa. And I forgot, Saturday morning we're going to have a peace march from City Hall to the park. We ask African-American men and others to sign a peace treaty with each other. Brothers and sisters, this is real stuff. Brother Diva, you back? But I'm fired up. I'm determined to see us as a community come back into the public square. I was already at 3 days of meetings with Imam Wahdadeen Muhammad II. Christian-Muslim dialogue Tuesday and Wednesday. Thursday, high-level meeting with the leaders of the major faiths. Christians, Muslims, Jews, Hindus, Buddhists, Zoroastrians, all kinds of faith communities. We're at the world table, but we have not changed our neighborhood. So we need big meetings so the word can go out from Newark that the Muslims are back to dawah, back to education, back to business, back to culture, back to government. Yes, we want to send a message out to let the world know that the Muslims and America is preparing candidates for the state Senate, the U.S. Senate, and even the presidency of the United States of America. We're at the table. We're going to clean our neighborhoods up, bring productivity. Brother D, are you there? We're waiting for Brother D until he comes. Anybody want to make a comment or a question, just press 1 on your phone, and you will be recognized. But I'm going to go on until he arrives and tell you we have somebody from 267. 267, You're on the air. 267, you're on the air.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. Is this the great Imam Mujahideen Muhammad, ready to bow Satan and kick him in the butt?
Yes, sir.
And knock him upside the head?
Yes, sir. At least 7 times, if not 47.
Knock him out 7 times. We want a good, firm knock on in the head. We kick him
yes,
in the
sir.
Butt, he may get back up and smash us. Let's kick him in the head 7 times. Thank
yes,
you.
Sir.
7 times 7. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I just wanted to share with your listening audience something that's going on this weekend in Philadelphia. That challenge that you just put forth could bring light and solution to this situation here. And this has been going on in several cities around the country. There's an organization who is soliciting advertisement on the mass transportation systems of anti-Islamic sentiments, claiming that Islam is an anti-Jewish religion, which we know and you know far from the truth. And they're showing the picture of Hitler and Hassan over 70 years ago. And they're having an anti, what you call it? An interfaith press conference this weekend or this week here in the Philadelphia area, and they're calling out for the Muslims and the Christians and the other people of faith to stand against this type of bigotry, maybe, and this type of silent insult to our noble religion. So I just wanted to share that with you and the listening audience.
We certainly thank you for sharing that with us. And tell us how one can go to attend that affair.
You can go to interfaithcouncil.org. All the information should be on there. PA.org.
All right, thank you.
And they should have that information on there. Yes, sir.
Did you get a chance? You heard Imam, you were on the air when Imam Muhammad's tape was playing?
Yes, I caught some of it. I was in and out.
Yeah, yes. Brother Deep Shackle, are you there?
Yes, sir, Brother Imam.
Yes, sir. I had 3 questions for you. And
yes,
if you remember, I barely remember them, but I know the spirit of them. Would you please give us your comment on that?
Repeat the question, brother. I can't recall.
The question was, does the community, the public of Imam W.D. Muhammad know who Imam Muhammad is and what he's about? Does the African-American know what Imam Muhammad is and what he's about? And does the general American public know Imam Muhammad? And if so, is what he just said important, or is this something we should just stick as popular entertainment, as some think?
Yes, sir. Yeah, okay, the 3 questions as to whether the Imam W.D. Muhammad community know him, or the public community knows him, or the general public, or the African-American public knows him. To all 3 of those questions, brother, the answer is no.
Yes.
Imam
now, why
W.D. Muhammad,
would you say that, brother? You're a knowledgeable man. You've been around the community. You're a businessman. I see you on all kinds of sets. I see you talking to all kinds of people. Are you sure of that?
I'm positive of it, brother, because why I'm saying this, I base it on what we look around in our community and see. Just from listening to the tape that I just played for you, and so Imam W.D. Muhammad said, if you are in a world and there's visible activity to prove that you are in this world, brother, you're dead. And I've listened to Imam W.D. Muhammad for 30-some years teaching, and the teaching that he has given us compared to the productivity that we have in our community life, brother, there's no comparison. So that right there tells me.
About brothers who tell me, well, amounts and numbers don't mean nothing.
The imam said numbers, big numbers, are very important because there are people watching us to see whether we really believe in what we say we believe in or do we really have something. And if we have it, how is it going to support us? How is it supporting us and making our life a better life or a picture for people to look at in the world and say, well, I want to be a part of this because what I'm looking at is seen to be progressive and productive to me. See, I wanted to make a comment in reference to the brother, what's the brother's name just came up?
Imam Mujahideen.
Mujahideen, yes. The reason why we have to go out and do these protesting because behind these people wanting to disrespect or demigrate Islam is simply because we are not doing anything. All the world has to see of Islam is what those fools over in the Middle East are doing. Now, what are we doing over here to counteract what those people are doing? If we was about the business of establishing Islam the way Imam W.D. Muhammad just taught on that tape, brother, we won't have to go out there and protest with nobody in the street to prove to the world that we are a peaceful religion. We are people of a peaceful religion. We are non-productive here in this country, brother. As a people, compared to what we have been given, we are totally non-productive. So all we have to do is establish ourselves. And then the proof will be in the pudding. You won't have to go out and protest people and say, well, this is who we are. No. Build, establish, show them who you are. Those people over in the East, they're tearing down, they're killing, they're murdering. So that's the picture that people have of us. That's who we are to them. We are a bunch of crazy people running around claiming Islam. So we say that's not Islam.
And what about the African Americans? Do we see any present African Americans? Do we see the African American Muslim saying anything differently?
Do we see any African American Muslims saying anything different?
Has the African American done anything to change that ugly picture of a Muslim world? Or are they just sitting down quietly, projecting no picture at all?
That's what they're doing. That's what we're doing. We're sitting down, projecting no positive image on no large scale. You know, we are doing things individually, but as a group, you understand what I'm saying? We're not even seen as a group. Especially African American Muslim.
Yes. From Imam Muhammad, we have. So is that the thing that's motivating you to have this? Now, you've been talking for years about, in addition to your plan of Imam Muhammad's tapes, and we've talked about it, you've been pushing for years that we need to socialize. Why is that so important? Why can't I, Brother Deep, just make my Shahabatain, pray five times a day, seven times a day, go and give zakat, maybe give to my bum on the streets some money, maybe go to my masjid, fast during Ramadan, fast on Monday and Thursday, go to Hajj once in a lifetime, and just go back home and watch the Empire, and you know, just chill, as one sister said. Why can't I just chill? Or if one imam said in front of Imam Muhammad, we make five salats a day, and Imam Muhammad whispered to me, so what? So what? You'll be dead and gone, and the people won't even know you're here. So, I mean, why do we keep chilling and make our salats to just be quiet? And let Allah take
Islam. That's not Islam. That's not what Allah called us to. You understand what I'm saying? Allah called us to work, brother, to establish your life. We are not just called to establish prayer, and that's the end of it. We are called to establish a whole life for ourselves, for our people, for our children, for our future generation, and to be a shining example for others to look at. And maybe one day they would pattern themselves after us. This is what Islam calls us to.
Let me ask you this. Is that why you've been holding, I think, 18 years of New Africa Family Day?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's definitely.
Does that have anything to do with the fact that you're not there calling people to stop drinking, stop smoking, but you're calling them to community life? And I have never yet at any of those events seen anybody drinking, smoking. I know they were not practicing Muslims. Weren't they polite? Weren't they nice? We never had any trouble. The police didn't have to do anything but chill. So maybe you're on to something. When you just invite them to community life.
That's it. Invite them to community life and show them how you behave and conduct yourself.
Yes, sir.
That's it. You being an example.
So I heard, what would you say to a brother who said to me that Juma is only for the Muslims and the public address is for the public? Is he right?
Juma is for everybody, brother. Anybody that, you know, that wants to look on and see what's going on, they don't have to participate in the Juma, but they can definitely
right.
listen to the Kutba.
And you know what? And I've been with Imam Muhammad. I want y'all to know I studied under him before. He trained me to be an Imam by watching him, and he invited me to be an Imam in Chicago, and I watched him. When guests would come to the masjid, he told them, "You're free to join us. If you don't want the job, you can sit on the side." And you know what? I've seen Christian preachers mix this a lot with us. I've seen Jews, Christians, and others join us. So I mean, maybe there's something to be said about that. And I also know that our prophet said to the people, try Islam. He didn't tell them to become Muslim. You ain't going to make the Shahada change. Just try. Don't you know thousands of people just fast with us? So we try to make Islam like it's a club. What do you got to say about that, Brother D?
Yeah. Well. First, one thing I like to make a statement about is Islam didn't come to Muslim, brother. Islam came to humanity. You know what I'm saying? When Islam came to us, there was no Muslim. So, you know, so Juma fits right in with Islam. That's a part of Islam. So that's all for humanity.
Yes, sir. I thought I was right. I thought I was right. You know, I thought that was right. I just don't understand why. Now, I know that you also been a big stickler for therapy. You've been advocating mass therapy. If I make my prayers, I fast, I pay my zakat, and I came from the slave plantation, and my mama was a slave. My girl, shouldn't I be all right just saying, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah?
Yes, sir. You be all right, brother. But well, I'll tell you this. You are a crazy Muslim doing all of those things, brother. You just crazy like the rest of us.
Brother, I'm a Muslim. I mean, doesn't that mean that I'm no longer crazy? Doesn't that mean that my children okay? They Muslims.
Brother, let me explain something to you. We are a people that came out of a peculiar situation. So that makes us a peculiar people. We are a very peculiar acting people, brother.
But didn't Islam cure that?
A big one?
Aren't we cured now that we became Muslims?
No, sir. No, sir, brother. No, sir. You have to have therapy to be cured from that stuff, brother. This will take years of therapy, group therapy, for people. Imam W.D. Muhammad told us years ago for us to study the effects of slavery on our people. What do you think that's saying to us?
Mm-hmm.
We,
we will have to sit, brother, and have discussion of things that goes on in our lives, each and every one of our lives. Most of us don't think that we have a problem, brother, but I know for a fact that we have a problem. We have big problems as a people. And until we are able and willing to sit down and discuss some of these issues that are bothering us, we are going to continue to have big problems and small productivity, brother, in our lives as a people. So we need to start having group therapy on a regular basis. I have group therapy all the time. You and I, we have group therapy with each other all the time. All the time.
You know what,
we know that we are sick.
Brother Adib, I went to a church, and it really, I was very moved by what the preacher said. He said, this is a hospital. He said, everybody in here is a patient, including the preacher. And I hollered, that's right, and amen, Reb. Because, I know my grandmother, I'm not talking about no great-great-great-grandmother, my grandmother, I talk about her, Lula Nallon, was a slave. And I see the effects of slavery in my life. Every day I'm battling the slave master in my brain. Every day, sometimes every minute. And if I don't conscientiously fight it in groups with you and with others, it will overcome us.
That's right.
I watch.
And a lot of times we are.
This is dedicated for.
A lot of times we are acting out on things that we don't even realize what we're acting out on. And why are we acting out?
Let's remember one of our great psychologists that passed on, Sister Daphne Binyard, who was a psychologist. And for full disclosure, I must tell you, she was even a family therapist and a therapist for one of my children. I don't mind saying I've been in therapy, my family's been in therapy, my children's been in therapy, because I told them all, I am a product of slavery. I didn't grow up in the White House. I didn't grow up in the Kaaba. I grew up the grandchild of a slave and the great-grandchild of slave parents. So it didn't take me much to say that what I have read, some of the most cruelest treatment known to man. I read something in the New York Times the other day. I think it was on the a plantation in Charleston. When slavery ended, maybe last month sometime, this month sometime, 150 years. When you think about 150 years, Brother D, that's not a long time in history.
It's not a long time at all. That's right. Comparing to other histories.
So actually, we have been only legally free for 50 years. 50 years. And we have never addressed our problem. 50 years. I mean, that we've had voter rights, all the rights that every other citizen had.
Right.
And 150 years that they took the shackles off of. And I would dare say, near slavery, because I know you're from South Carolina, Virginia. I know you remember when they had colored bathrooms, colored hospitals, colored water fountains. And I remember, Brother Deep, a man called a white funeral home to come to get a black body, and he was put in an insane asylum. So are we saying, I remember that, and I'm 67 years old, kicking 68 in the behind. I'm still traumatized by that. Am I crazy for thinking that I'm okay? I know by saying I'm not okay.
No, brother, you have a legitimate reason for saying that you are not okay. Because I'm not okay, and I'm a pretty balanced human being, and I can reason and rationalize with most people, you know. But I know I have problems, brother, because I know the effects that slavery has left on not just me, but my whole family, my whole my you know I.
I think about a lot of things. You know, I just go back in my mind, I just do a lot of thinking. I do a lot of thinking. And, you know, I reflect back on, you know, on my people, man. And, you know, my family and my relatives and all that. And my neighborhood that I grew up in, you know, with people, you know, in the neighborhood. And you see certain things, you know. And now as you get older and wiser, Allah bless you to see more, you know, than you was able to see years ago. So I'm able to see these things, and these things are coming to me clearer today. And I see the effects that slavery had on our people as a people and how it's burdening us down even today and will continue to burden us down tomorrow if we don't start doing some things to eradicate this out of our life forever. You know, it's going to take some generations. It's not going to happen overnight. It's something that we'll have to work on as we build this new Africa. We'll have to work. See, once we start establishing this new identity for ourselves, this new Africa, you know, we don't want to go into new Africa with old America ideas and concepts in our mind, old boogeyman hiding in there. You understand what I'm saying? Because New Africa would never truly become New Africa. You know? It would be just a ghost from the plantation of yesterday. You know? So we have to work to eradicate this type of thing, these type of thinking out of our mind, out of our genes, and our children, our grandchildren. So when we reach the pinnacle of New Africa, brother, maybe 100, 200 years down the road, you understand what I'm saying? We don't have these ghosts to haunt us in the closet, to come out to haunt us in our community life. We'll have solid community life, brother, you know, that Islam will establish for us.
Yes, sir. So you're saying that this is a long process. Now, I'm wondering if you believe that it's necessary for us to have schools. Why is it that you're so adamant about schools? Why can't we just go ahead and train our children in the public schools and we can just get rid of all that word about New Africa and just become regular Americans? I mean, you know, isn't everything beautiful in this country?
Yes. Yeah. Well, I'll say this about that, brother, to become what you want to become, what Allah has directed you to become, then you have to educate your own. You can't allow yourself to be educated by others that do not have the mindset nor the knowledge background or the type of skillful teaching that we've gotten from our leading man, Warith Al-Din Muhammad, over 30-some years. You know, anybody can't just come and teach us, but we'll have to have the mindset of Imam W.D. Muhammad, the skillful surgeon that Allah blessed in the midst of these ex-slaves. Now, you got to listen to what I'm saying, brother. I want you to listen clearly to what I'm saying. A skillful surgeon that Allah blessed in Imam W.D. Muhammad to come here and teach us. He taught us for 33 years. Broke down all the symbolism in religion and science and stuff of that nature. Taught us how to perceive things, the perception of things. You understand what I'm saying? Now,
yes,
who is going to come and teach us that in the public school system, right? How can we get that in the public school system? We can never get that in the public school system, right?
Let me ask you this. Can't we go ahead and go to other people's masjids, the Islamic centers of this city? Couldn't we get it there? Well, go to the other masjids, blending with everybody else.
We can't get it anywhere else. We can only get that from with our own self, within our own circle. And many of our circles, you can't get it, brother. So you got to pick and choose where you go in your own circle.
Now, let me ask you this, Brother D.
Yes.
Are you implying that Imam Muhammad is a blessed man? Isn't he just some ordinary man that just, you know, he didn't even go to any schools. He doesn't have any credentials. He's not a formally Islamic educated man. I don't think he has 6 college credits. Do you mean to tell me he's qualified to teach PhDs? He's qualified to teach preachers? He's qualified to teach imams? How do you justify that, brother?
I'm going to put it to you like this. Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what school did he go to?
I don't know of any.
Abraham, what school did he go to?
But they promised, no, brother.
Huh?
But they are prophets.
They're what?
They're prophets. And so they've been blessed by God. But Imam Muhammad, he's not a prophet. How can he know this stuff?
He's not a prophet, but he is an inspired man by Allah, brother. Allah still inspires people. Allah is still God. He's still the God that inspired Abraham. He's still the God that inspired
Brother Muhammad.
Yes,
didn't inspiration stop with the Prophet Muhammad? Didn't it stop with the companions? We had the Sahabas. Isn't that enough?
No, sir, brother. Inspiration will come to mankind for as long as they're on this earth. How's inspiration going to stop? Revelation stopped. Ain't no more revelation. There's no more prophet coming. But there will be inspired people, brother. I mean, the earth may be here for another, what, billion years, brother? What are you saying? There will be no more inspired people?
You know, I'm having a good time because I'm answering the hard question that the man in the street or the man in the mosque or the man that's in the convention, this is the question sometimes they are too scared to ask. I'm going to turn the table, Brother Adib. I'm going to ask you 2 more questions. Then I want to turn the table and let you for the next 15 minutes, we ain't going to hold you long, to ask me questions and let the audience ask me questions. We want challenges. This is therapy for me. I'm hearing answers that I believe, but you are reinforcing with me, for me, questions that other people raise. So not that I doubt it. I just want to know, hey, am I crazy? I feel very lonely that I believe this. And sometimes we ride for hours and hours and hours and hours. And you're about one of the few people I can talk to, and sometimes I think I'm crazy. But damn, I hope we both ain't crazy. So
yeah, maybe we're the only 2 crazy people in the world. I don't know, man.
So I do wonder, you seem to agree with me. You're one of the few people on the earth that agree with me. I wonder if we both.
Yeah, maybe both of us crazy as hell, man. I don't know.
So, I mean, we are crazy people. We certainly are not normal. We don't fit in. We should be somewhere at our age watching a sports game and getting ready to give us some popcorn at a movie.
Yeah.
Or sitting back and watching.
I'd like to invite some others that are listening to the program, brother, to come in and make some comments or ask some questions. Brother,
yes, the phone is open.
I want to make sure that we are not crazy, man. Maybe we are crazy.
Well, that's what I said. Well, but folks, you can tell us if we're crazy or not. 805-727-7013. If you're online, just give us a sanity check by pressing 1, and I know I will answer questions. I'm convinced Brother D will answer the question, too. And I'm going to ask you, Brother D, once again,
for
sanity check, what date is this program? Where would it be held? And what do you need from the public to do? I know you're probably a very rich man, and you're going to finance this out of your brother's vest pocket. But I warn you, your brother does not have any vest pockets. So I don't know how you're going to get this money. Maybe you're going to get a grant from the government and hold this event. Is that what's happening?
No, sir, brother. No, it hasn't happened yet, and we are not looking for it to happen this time. You know, this has been happening by the effort of a small group of people from among us, you know, and there are a few outside people that have helped us along over the years, but the bigger part of this effort has been happening within our own circle, you know. So And the event is going to take place, inshallah, July 24th, 25th, and 26th. You know, we are looking to do a three-day event, and we are asking anybody that want to participate, want to make a contribution, you know, to help us. You know, this is not, this do not finance any of Brother Adib's personal life. You know what I'm saying? As a matter of fact, it costs Brother Adib every year hundreds, if not thousands of dollars, you understand what I'm saying, to make this event happen every year. You know, I've been going in my pocket, making donations and loan as well as donation to this organization to make this happen over the last 17 years. So we need all the support that we can get financially. We need people to help us with advertising. We need advertising. We like to do big advertisement on this event this year because we want to make this a big event. And I think it's time for us to make a large, make a great statement, you know, to the community, to the outer community, that, you know, we are alive and we are about doing positive things in the community. We are not looking to hurt anybody. We are not looking to force anybody into Al-Islam. You know, we are just here to show a shining example, be a shining example for the wider community, you know, and show them how the African American people can come together and socialize with their families and enjoy each other's company without being disruptive, disrespectful, or hurting anybody or anything of that nature. We, Allah, God has blessed us for the last 17 years that we've had problem-free events. And we pray that He will keep the blessing on us and make it continue to be that way and allow people to come out to socialize and enjoy each other's company and be productive. And hopefully greater and bigger things will come out of this, you know. So you can reach me at 973-420. I forgot my telephone number. 973-420-4172. And you can reach Imam Alfred. You have Imam Alfred because he's working with me. I got his
908-463-4843. Brother D, how many more minutes you got with us?
I don't have much.
Now, I got
I've been running all day, man. I'm tired, brother.
All right. Well, we're gonna go 7 minutes. I wondered, did you have any questions for me? We have an open forum. You can dial 805-727-7701. This audience is a very difficult audience. Very respectful. No questions. But you can ask questions. You can text me questions at 908-463-4843. I'm going to give about 10 minutes to Brother D to ask me questions, and
yes,
this is what we do. This is a discussion. It's not a one-way street. When I ask questions, I ask hard questions.
Yes.
And when I answer questions, I want people to ask me hard questions. Anything you ask me, I'm going to answer to the best of my ability.
Yes. Okay, Imam Alfred, I'd like to ask the question I'd like to get your concept of as to how this program that we are planning for July will help us in promoting Islam as well as promoting African American life in America.
Thank you so much. I believe that America is a land of groups. You have the Irish, they have St. Patrick's Day. Puerto Ricans have the second Sunday in June. All these groups have days that they celebrate and memorialize. America, the beauty of America, is the greatest country on earth. Because really, I can set up my own nation in America as long as it does not conflict with the United States of America. It doesn't stop me from practicing my religion. It doesn't stop other people from opposing me. It's the land of the free and the home of the brave. So I am free. My enemies is free, but I have to be brave. And what I think has happened since we have been here, we've never established ourselves as a group. We've established ourselves as powerful individuals. We've even had some very powerful groups among us. But group strength, we have 120 African-American colleges. We can't say we support any of them, yet we'll get $2.3 trillion. So I want to bring to our people's attention, I participate in this, because I want to first, in Newark, New Jersey, where Imam Muhammad spent most of his work addressing urban America and urban African Americans. He said a lot of powerful messages. I heard that the bootleg tape of Imam Muhammad in Newark was the highest price. So if Imam Muhammad did that in Newark, then that should tell us something about Newark and what the name of that city is, Newark. So we need a Newark. First thing we got to do is get a message out here that we need peace among our people. We need to send a message out that the time for turning Arab and American into killing fields is over. I first want to see African-American men to march, to walk to the bar. I now come to the conclusion that I want Caucasians, I want everybody to walk and tell African-Americans it's goddamn time for them to stop killing each other and to be at peace with each other. Stop one damn day for 3 days, stop killing each other. If you can practice that, I may march down the street in a damn Klan uniform and pull it off and tell them, look, now you're the Klan. So we want to demonstrate to our people we don't have to hurt each other. We should love each other. We want our men to take a sacred code. Don't molest your brother. Don't steal his money. Don't take his women. Very simple. That's how you have strong community. So we're going to send that message out. That should be a brotherhood. That Willie Hutch said, not a hood, a brethren. Willie Hutch said, brothers going to work it out. So we got to get our men working again with each other. Then if we can do that, we can develop education students. We can develop businesses. And right now, I'm sure that at least on the New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, just this region, there's at least 10, 15 million African Americans there. I want other ethnic groups to come that Saturday and tell the people that we are sick and tired of us killing each other. And we're going to have peace signs. We're going to invite our people for a massive peace march. They're going to march to the park, and we're going to have these workshops. That's what I'm proposing. You're the chairman. I'll take your word because you're the leader. When you have leaders, you can't second-guess your leader. The leader has the last word. That's another weakness of us as a people. We don't believe in leadership. We believe everybody should be a boss. I don't believe that. You are my leader in the Father, Son, Men, and Boys Association. You're the leader because you're the one to be most trusted because you went out front. See, once I lock into a person, I told you when we got together, I said, brother, I've been so disappointed, but now I'm married to you, and the only thing, there can't be no divorce. Because I've seen a lot of people come and talk, and they don't do anything. They get a good bean pie and a good bowl of bean soup, and it's just a conversation. But I've seen you work. So I dedicated my life to that we make a statement, a powerful statement, to our people. First to our people about New Africa. And then after the statement of New Africa and getting a new mind and calling for group therapy to happen all over the country with our people, second thing we want to signify is that that God has given us a new heritage, a new identity, and we want to go register, sign up for buses, and go to Chicago and overflow the Tinley Park Convention Center. I want to see tens of thousands of people, so many people at the convention that they have to put Jumbotron. More than they did to see President Obama. Why should we have that? We should have that so, again, we can have a big national effort. We want to let our friends know we're our friends. We don't want to let our enemies know that they can die because we're going to continue to work. And we want to send a message out in the world that we're the new Muslims. We want to send a message to Africa that we're new Africans. We want to send a message to America that we're new Americans. We're new. And the Bible says God will make all things new. And I am a witness bearer that he's made us a new people. Did that answer
yes,
your question, my dear?
Yes, sir. Most definitely.
Any others?
No doubt about it. Yes. Yeah.
Anybody else have any questions? And you can challenge me. Hey, if you have Sheikh Hoopa Hoopa, if you have an imam that you think is more qualified than me, bring him forth. Throw his name in the race. I'm glad to bring him here, and if he has something on that, guaranteed, brother, I will take his bags. I will even escort him to the toilet. I'm telling you, that's the commitment I have to leadership. Hey, you know what we have to do as people? We have to be so prepared. I cut a man's bag, stand guard outside of the toilet. Huh? That's the kind of leadership we have to have and respect. I will shut up. He tell me to brother Alfred, just be quiet. I don't want you to say a damn thing to me. Yes, sir. I get that in the Nation of Islam.
Yes.
I had brothers who didn't even have official rank. Brother Ralph Abdullah, we call him Ralph Allah, they tell me just be quiet, brother. He was older than I am. I might have could have whooped his behind, but out of absolute respect. I said, yes, sir.
Yeah. Well, sometimes it's just be quiet.
Yeah, I've heard brothers like Brother Booker tell me, he said, brother, you can't handle this one. Just be quiet. Just listen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I believe in leadership. I know we as a people must have that. And until we get that, I'm just going to share this one thing, brother. I don't want to hold you. I was at an international gathering. And I saw the Muslims from the Muslim world who now live in America treat us like babies. They're organized. They put up their money. They want to tell the American people that they are in charge. And I want
They came in and put us to sleep. You know, we went told not just them by themselves, because you know, we helped them put us to sleep also. You know, now they've robbed us of our birthright, brother. That's what's taking place, man.
That's right. And now
we'll be robbed of our birthright.
They are the face of Islam.
Yes.
They have become the face. They have organizations.
Yes.
They're working on our birthrights. They're working. I told a Caucasian lady, I said, we beat you off of us. And now the immigrant Muslim is ready to jump on our back. But goddamn it, I don't want the white man on my back. I don't want the brown man on my back. I don't even want the black man on my back. So I damn sure don't want a new group on my back.
That's right.
That's the spirit we're going
to
have. That's the spirit that I believe is going to put a new person in our body. That's what I believe. I believe that we will have a new people with a new spirit. And those people leave there, and we tell each of them, the buy a copy of Imam Muhammad's DVD, take it home and educate yourself, and perchance you may be greater than I. Because God is indeed blessed with an inspired man.
That's right.
And we are never going to give up on him. We're not going to stop. We're going to have our children's children study him, our great-great-great-great-grandchildren. And I believe we're going to build the greatest civilization known to man.
I believe so, too, brother.
So with that, give us a post office box where we can send the money to, because we need money. Because this is going to cost us money. Nothing
yes,
in America, including the so-called American Negro.
Yes, you can make your donation by sending your donation to Father, Son, Men, Boys, P.O. Box 20061. Newark, New Jersey, 07102. And or you can go to our webpage, www.fathersonmenboy.org, and
go to PayPal, and you can make donation contribution by doing that also. And we're looking for vendors. We need vendors. And we have good rates for vendors, especially for those that register early. Early registration, you get vending space at a very, very cheap price. So go online, go to fathersonmenboard.org, and check out the vending application online. You can register online for vendors, and you will see you have great prices there for vendors. 3-day vending, or 1-day vending, 2-day vending, however you want to vend. You have the opportunity to vend. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. If there are any questions or comments, we're going to go off the air. We're going to be on the air tomorrow. And let's see, we're going to be on the air again. Brother Imam Yusuf Abdul Salam is going to, this is the fifth Sunday, so this Sunday we always have him on. And I think, Brother D, we're going to come back on again Monday and play that broadcast again.
Very good. They need to hear this every day, brother. I'm telling you, brother, this is powerful.
I got to find a way for my son that we can replay part of this. We may just replay this whole broadcast.
Yes, sir.
Because I think this is a very important broadcast.
Yes, sir.
Our people need to hear this. And I want people to hear this because I keep hearing you talk. Many of you are just satisfied that nobody knows us. And then you make an excuse. And that's all it is a weak excuse. And because many of us are too damn lazy to get out here and work and teach our people. But we're looking for a select few. I believe if we had 10,000 men on the streets of America, in fact, I believe if we had 8,000 of them in New York and New Jersey, we would turn America around. So while we at it, if you see any young men that is committed to working 8 hours a week to further our people's cause, call 973-420-4172. Our organizational leader is Brother Deeb Shaka. I'm your imam. You can call me 908-463-4843. And I will refer you to Brother Deeb Shaka. We want to train men. We're getting ready to have a men's meeting. And we're going to sign men up that want to work to change our people's condition. Not to talk about it, but to march in these neighborhoods, walk in these neighborhoods. We need to go after that. We just heard about a sick rapist that raped an African-American woman. Let us shop and chase the police. Let us chase out the police by going and being the police in our own neighborhood. Any other questions, comments, Brother D, before we leave?
No, I don't have any more. I thank you for inviting me.
You've heard another edition of Religion Means Alive. Peace be on our honorable and noble listening audience until tomorrow at 3 o'clock. See you on Religion Means Alive. You can still send your donation. Imam Alfred Muhammad in care of Religion Means Alive. You can put Religion Means Alive on the check. Care of Imam Alfred, write the check of Imam Alfred Muhammad. But Religion Means Alive. No, and not my personal interest. It's the interest to keep this broadcast on, to keep this movement rolling. We want to start going and visiting cities. Very soon we'll be announcing to you a meeting, a public meeting that we're going to have. So this is no longer going to just be on radio. It's going to be live in a city near you. Peace be on your game, noble and honorable listening audience. Listen to another edition